The next thing, who enjoys this richness of life is one that lives right, one who is broken and contrite, one who is broken and contrite. Look at verse 18. The Lord is near unto those who are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You want to enjoy the richness in life? Have a contrite heart. Have a contrite spirit. And see, when David put the spit on his beard and he started scratching the wall, you know what that was? That was self. That was pride. That was all about David. But God calls us as believers to humility. He calls us to live a humble life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, Psalms 34. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, Psalms 34.
The Lord shall not lack any good thing. Oh, you got to taste and see that the Lord, instead of letting somebody cause you to lose your mind, instead of letting somebody drive you to a place where you've lost it, just taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste and see, notice what he says, that even the young lions do not lack, that God provides for them. And if God will provide for the young lions, that if you taste him and you find out that he's good, that he will provide for you. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The Lord will be everything that you need if you taste. And if you'll go to that next slide, because, you know, what does it mean to taste the Lord? I mean, you know, we read these things in the scripture, but I'm all about application. I'm all about being practical. What does it mean to taste the Lord? Well, the word taste comes from the Hebrew word ta'am. And it means to try or to evaluate with the tongue, with the view to consume if the flavor is suitable. Isn't that what you do when you taste something? If you taste something, isn't that what you do? You're evaluating with your tongue. And you are trying to see if this is something that's flavorable to your palate, because if it is, then you want more. Let me repeat. I think y'all missed that one right there. I think you missed that one right there. That if you taste and it's flavorable to your palate, then you want more. And so what does it mean to taste and see that the Lord is good? You know what it means? It means to trust him. To trust him. That if you just trust him, you might not be able to see at the end of the road, but just trust him. You might think that the king is going to kill you because he knows that you are an enemy, but just trust him. You might think that you're going to run out of food in your house, but just trust him. You may think that the bill collector is going to knock at your door, but just trust him. You may think that sickness is going to overcome you and overtake you, but just trust him. Just trust him. And as the commercial said years ago, try it, you'll like it. Try it, you'll like it. An alternative to losing your mind is just trust God. And it says taste and see. It didn't say eat the whole meal. He just says come, just get a little taste. Because if you just taste, You want to see that God is good, and you're going to want a lot more. And when you taste, when you trust, you'll find out that he is loving. You'll find out that he is merciful. You'll find out that he is gracious. Just taste and see that the Lord is good. And then I go to the last thing, the last alternative to losing your mind. And that is live right and enjoy the richness in life. Live right and enjoy the richness in life. That if you just live according to God's standards, God's principles, if you live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, notice what he says in verse, let me get there, in verse 10, or verse 11, come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He said, is there anybody, what man is he who desires life? What man is he and loveth many days? Who is it that doesn't want to see life in many days? And what? And that he may see what in life? The good. That he may see the good in life. That do you want a good life? Now again, I didn't say a rich life. I didn't say a extravagant life. You know, you might have problems, you might have sickness, but you can still have a good life. You know, when I was in the world, you know, I thought that I had to be high to enjoy life. It didn't seem like I got anything out of life unless I was high. But you know what? Now that I've tasted that the Lord is good, and I realize I don't need to taste alcohol, I don't need to taste reefer, I don't need to taste any drugs, but I've tasted the Lord, and he's met and he's satisfied every desire that I've had in my spirit. And that's why, you know, I can sit on my back porch or I can sit on my front porch and just sit there and look at the trees and look at the birds and look at the little rabbits and just enjoy life. Enjoy life. So, you know, sometimes that's you know, there was a time I couldn't do that. Sit. Man, are you crazy? That's dull. That's boring. But I tell you what, man, there's so much enjoyment. Just the peace of just doing that and enjoy life. And you know, even you know, with your children and your grandchildren, how that, you know, you can enjoy, you know, the time of just being with them. Just enjoying life. That's what it means to not lose it. I mean, even though, you know, sometimes, as Mike gave testimony, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're raising kids, it's hard and difficult. And you know, you can lose it sometimes. But you can still enjoy life. You can still enjoy life. Notice what the psalmist said. What man is he that desires life? That's good life. Not just any old kind of life, but good life. And what? And loves many days. That not only do you want to see life, but you want to see a long life. And not only do you want to see life, a long life, but what else? What kind of life? A good life. Good life, that he may see good in his life. How do you do that? How do you choose this instead of, you know, the alternative is bad. You know, there's a lot of people that are pulling their hair out. There's a lot of people that are biting their nails. There's a lot of people that's freaking out. They're not seeing the good life. And he goes on to tell us, how do you see the good life? Well, let me just read it and we'll close the message out for today. Notice what he says. The first thing, he says, watch what you say. You know, the reason why a lot of people have problems is because their mouth gets them into trouble. And that's why they're losing it. They let their mouth get them in trouble. All right. Notice what he says here. If you want to see this good life, he says, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Watch what you say. All right. Secondly, do good and seek peace. Look what he says here. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. A lot of people that are losing their mind, what is the one thing that they don't have? They don't have peace. They don't have peace. He says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The third thing that he says, if you to live right and enjoy the richness of life, he says here in verse 15, and live a righteous life. Live a righteous life. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. But look at this. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, that's why a lot of people don't have peace, because they're fighting against God. And when you fight against God, you're not going to have peace. If God is leading you and God is guiding you and God is telling you to do something and you don't do it, then you're fighting against him. And there goes your peace right there. Because you can't, that's a battle that you can't win. You can't fight with God and win that one right there. So the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of all their troubles. Live a righteous life. The next thing. Who enjoys this richness of life is one that lives right. One who is broken and contrite. One who is broken and contrite. Look at verse 18. The Lord is near unto those who are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You want to enjoy the richness in life? Have a contrite heart. Have a contrite spirit. And see, when David put the spit on his beard and he started scratching the wall, you know what that was? That was self. That was pride. That was all about David. But God calls us as believers to humility. He calls us to live a humble life. There's no room for the proud in the Christian life. You know, what letter is at the center of the word pride? I. And if we're going to enjoy our life, I would venture to guess that most people who are freaking out and having losing their mind, so to speak, you know, these are people that are pride, and they have that dog eat dog mentality. They have that mentality of get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. You know, these are people that have the idea of, it's all about me, and, you know, I'm going to do whatever. I got to do me, and you know, I got to get mine. And so, I mean, it's all about that, and yet and still. And these are the people, you know, these are the people that when the bottom falls out, these are the ones, if you look, I mean, you look back in the Great Depression. You know, the people that lost the most was the ones that was taking their life, right? The people that had very little, it didn't affect them. Right. They found a way, right, to keep on keeping on, right? But it was the ones that lost a lot. And so when you're up there and you're high and mighty and you have this high and mighty mentality, then I think that the struggle was greater in the mind. But no matter what you got, if you look, the Bible says that Moses, he was the leader of the Hebrew people. He had anything that he wanted to have. And yet still the Bible said what? He was the most humble and meekest person on the face of the earth. And so, if you want to keep your sanity, if you want to keep your sanity, have a humble spirit. Have a humble spirit. And then he goes on to say, the one who serves and trusts the Lord. Verse 20, he keeps all his bones, the afflicted, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteous, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them who trust him shall be desolate. Do you want to enjoy the richness in life? Become a servant of God and trust him. I was listening to David Jeremiah the other day, and he was doing a series on slaying the giants in life. And he was talking about the giant of guilt. And he gave this example about a young man at the time by the name of Robert Garth. And he had a chance to go to the Junior Olympics. Now, he came from a poor family, and he didn't want to go to the Junior Olympics with raggedy clothes. But he had no money to buy clothes. So one night he was watching TV, and he came up with this idea. The warehouse that he worked at, he did odd and end jobs, and the boss would often pay him when he did these little odd and end jobs with cash out of his pocket. And so he came up with this idea that he would rob his boss. So he got up at 5 o'clock the next morning, got to the warehouse, and he saw his boss coming. But the plan didn't go as he wanted it to, because he knocked something over and he began to panic. And his boss saw him. And his boss said, look, he said, I'll give you whatever you want. And out of a moment of desperation, the young man had a club in his hand, and he hit his boss across the head, and his boss got knocked out. He was laying on the floor, and he went through his pockets, and he found $65. So he took the $65 and bought some clothes. Now, the one thing that he didn't realize is that his boss was taken to the hospital, and later that night, he died. The young man went to the Junior Olympics, and he was a great athlete. Again, his name is Robert Garth. But he didn't do very well. And as a result of that, he somehow struggled, and he made it through high school, and he began to drink. And that was his solution to deal with his problems. He got married, and him and his wife had a little girl. But this, in his mind, the fact that he had killed this man was still troubling him and was still eating away at him. And so he just fell into this kind of dark character. And as a result, his wife divorced him, and he moved back and forth with his father, and him and his father couldn't get along. And he tried to figure out life, and he just couldn't figure. He couldn't get along with anybody, and his life was just a mess. 15 years later, he was still dealing with his guilt of what he had done. Now look at this. What kind of life do you think he had? You know, we talked about enjoying life, enjoying long. This man, from the time he was a teenager to the time he was 30 years old, did not enjoy his life. His life was pretty much gone. His life was pretty much destroyed. And that's what David is talking about here, that you want to enjoy life. And if you want to enjoy life, live right. Do the right things. He could not enjoy life because he was not doing the right things. And so the guilt and the pressure got to him so much that he went to the police station where he had committed the crime. And he confessed it, because they never did solve it. Nobody knew that he did it. He could have went away scot-free without anybody ever realizing that he had killed this man. But the guilt, his life was so trashed and was so ruined that he couldn't deal with it. And he went, and they had, at first they had a hard time believing that he was actually confessing. They thought it was some kind of joke. But when they checked it out, they found out that he actually was the one that did it. And so they put him in jail. And because he came forward and confessed, that he didn't have to spend that much time in jail. And the friends of the man he killed, they were furious because He only had to spend a certain amount of days in jail. But this is what Robert Garth writes. And I believe this is what David is saying about enjoying life. He said, "My time in prison was easy compared to the 15 years I lived my crime in my own mind. My incarceration in my mind of my guilt was the worst thing I ever known in my life. Nothing could they do to me by incarcerating me, even for the rest of my life, could have ever measured up to the awful sense of being in the prison of my own guilt for 15 years that I hid in my sin." And you know what? There's a whole lot of people that are not enjoying the goodness of life. And they are about, I mean, this was driving this man insane. It drove him to the point where he could not even enjoy his life. That's why we said alternatives. Alternatives to losing your mind. David said, live right. Live right and enjoy life. That when you live right, you don't have to look over your shoulder. That when you live right, you don't have to worry about somebody finding you out. That when you live right, you don't have the guilt of knowing that one day you might get caught. That will drive you insane. You know, I remember one time I was laying in bed and a song came to my mind. And I was trying to figure out who sang the song. And I knew who sang the song. But I couldn't come up with the group. And I laid there. And it started bothering me. And it bothered me. I had to get up. Because this was, I mean, it was in my mind. I had, and I said, wow, this thing is driving me crazy. I mean, I'm honest. I'm being honest with you. I said, this thing is about to drive me out of my mind. I know who sang this song, and I can't think. I said, now, wait a minute, man, you a preacher. And you tell people about the goodness of God. And you know what? Just something came in my spirit at that moment. And said, you got to let that go, man. You got to let it go. If you don't, it's going to. Actually, Saints, you might think I'm crazy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. But I actually started having an anxiety attack. Because I couldn't think. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, all right. I thought that I was in this thing by myself. I'm glad. It's good to know there was other people. All right, good to know. All right. And so that's what David is saying. That you're not going to enjoy life if you got things that are not right between you and God. If you're not living right. You got to get rid of those things. You got to let them go. And so I love it in here. You know, we start off by talking about David who, you know, acted like he was a madman. And then he writes this 34th Psalm to say, I wish this is what I would have did. I wish I would have handled it this way.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Try Him, You'll Like Him, Psalms 34. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Alternatives to Losing Your Mind, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Alternatives to Losing Your Mind. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Alternatives to Losing Your Mind. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.